Welcome to Enduring Christianity. I'm Billy Heyer, and this is our conversation on becoming aware of love's opportunities. First Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardships that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. What we find in this chapter is that not only is love the greatest, not only is love everything, but without love, we're nothing. In 1 John chapter 4, it says, God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. So as Christians, the question is no longer if love is good, and the question is no longer, should I abide in love? These no longer are the questions, because as Christians, these questions have already been emphatically answered with yes. The question has therefore moved on from should I to am I? Am I aware of the moments in life that are love's opportunities? In Corinthians, it says love endures all things. Have you ever thought of that as your own impatience that you have to endure? Or that moment where you're just fed up and no one wants to do things your way and you begin to insist on your own way? Have you ever felt yourself becoming easily angered? Maybe it's just simply because you're hungry or because you didn't sleep well. Have you ever thought of that is what love endures? The reality is that the most frustrating times in our life are love's opportunity. Today, I want to share with you a pretty practical story of something that happened in my life. And looking back on it, I realized this is a perfect example of love's opportunity. In my house, we have a basement. And in this basement, there are only two windows, two very small windows, about 32 by 14 inches wide. Well, a few months ago, I was upstairs in my room, and my son, my nine-year-old son, very active son, said, Dad, I'm so sorry. Please don't be mad at me. Oh boy, this can't be a good start. He then goes on to tell me that one of the windows in the basement broke. Without telling me how it broke, I went downstairs to just confirm that it did break. After confirming that it actually did break, I looked to him and asked him how it broke. He was the only one down there. He's the only one with the answer. Well, after a few versions of his stories of what happened, none of which made sense, and after some more interrogation, we finally found out what happened. He was kicking a soccer ball in the basement, and in some small, slim chance, this soccer ball just barely fit through the framing of the window to break it. Naturally, I felt a little frustrated, and as I began to see the glass shattered about the floor in small, little sharp pieces, my frustration began to grow more. And then I realized, hey, I'm the one who's going to have to fix this. And again, my frustration began to grow more. I was naturally frustrated, and justifiably. And naturally, I then turned that frustration towards my nine-year-old son. I just want to take a moment to say that, you know, nothing's wrong with being frustrated. Something wrong happened. And even on top of that, my son knows not to kick a soccer ball in the basement. He disobeyed me. And the consequences of his disobedience is a responsibility now on myself to have to fix this window, to have to pay for this window. I began to feel this frustration build up inside of me, and naturally, I began to express it towards him. Many words of which I tried to stay in control of, but many words also of which I regret. And I could see the evidence of why I regretted it, based on his expression, slowly changing into this disappointment and sadness, and I'd say a little bit of fear. But even though my frustration was justifiable on the outside, inwardly, I began to realize, at what point is my experienced frustration beginning to evolve into the absence of love? I began to see a small glimpse of love's opportunity. Because love's opportunity is not just to bring life, but again, without love, we are nothing. Love's opportunity is also death's opportunity. Thankfully, by God's grace and mercy, I began to realize in my head that this is very important how I begin to respond to Him. This could be a moment that He may never remember, but if I'm not careful and if I treat Him with the absence of love and just pure frustration, He may remember this moment for many, many years to come in a negative way of how I treated Him, all because of a window. Well, fast forwarding a few months later, my son, the same son, came to me and said, "I'm so sorry. Please don't be mad at me, Dad." Oh boy, here we go again. That's never a good start. But I thought to myself, maybe it's not a big deal. "What's up, son?" His reply was, "I broke the window in the basement." I surprisingly was calm. But to be honest, it was most likely out of disbelief. But as I began to walk down the stairs to the basement to confirm another broken window, in the basement of which I just labored to completely remodel, I could hear the heaviness of my steps increasing on the stairs, going down to the basement. The sounds of my steps triggered my spirit. You are being tempted with frustration. Do not sin in your frustration. That's what was impressed upon me. As I made the last steps to the basement, I took a deep breath and told myself, "Okay, you got this. Self-control, Billy." And as my eyes looked over at the wall where the small window sat in a small window frame, it was completely smashed. I stood there actually completely astonished. How in the world did he manage to break the other window? Now, both small windows. At first, I chose to laugh inside at the complete absurdity and the minuscule small percentage of this even happening because the windows are so small. But then I realized we live in Wisconsin and the winter is right around the corner, which then fast as lightning expands to a cold basement, which then leads to a higher heating bill, which then in my mind led to the fact that I just labored so hard to make this place nice, refinished. And now this, the thoughts were all factual, and they were all leading to a growth of frustration compounding within me. The frustration began to compound enough that it was as if there was no room within me for it to continue to grow. My natural urge was, I have to place this somewhere else. I know, on the one who caused it, the one whose fault it is for my frustration. As I turned to spread my frustration towards my son, it was graciously impressed upon me, love bears all things. I saw my son standing there with his arms unnaturally straight down his side, his chin slightly on a downward angle, and with tears welling up in his big brown eyes. He said, "I'm so sorry, Dad. Please don't be mad at me." What I heard in my heart, though, was my 9-year-old child saying to me, "I'm so sorry, Dad. Please don't let this hinder your love for me." His legs and chin had a quiver. I then heard, "This is your son whom you love. Do not sin against him in your frustration." I heard my own teaching. I regularly speak to my sons, never make things more important than people. And then another of which we frequently tell our children, never allow your frustrations to deny God's love. I didn't do it perfectly, because just as much as my heart was softening, my frustrations were still just as present, nudging me, encouraging me to deny the reflection of God's love. But what I decided to do is to not vomit my justifiable characteristics of frustration on my son. And I battled the temptation of doing that by doing something about it. I explained to him that I hope he understands that it makes sense that I am mad about the window, but I am sorry if I transferred any of my anger about the window over towards you. I then placed my hand behind his white blonde hair, raising his chin with the side of my index finger, and told him what we say to each other every day. I love you forever. I love you always. And most importantly, I love you no matter what. Just give me some time to work through being upset about the window. But know that you can never do anything that will stop me from loving you. His tears then swelled up again as he gave me one of his great hugs and whispered in my ear, I love you, Dad. After cleaning up the glass and taping a trash bag to the window frame, I went back up to my room to continue some work I was doing prior to this event. And as I went about my work, I couldn't help but see my son in my mind's eye downstairs, all by himself, reciting in his head to himself the disappointment I must have had towards him. It impressed upon me, you resisted the frustration and urge to sin against your son. Now, put your work to the side and solidify your love for him by spending time with him. But this was a little frustrating as well, because I was thinking I need to get this work done. But the love for my son became uncomfortable within me to not spend time with him. I then went downstairs and said, hey, bud, you want to play some basketball? And without even a verbal response, he shot up and ran to the mudroom and put on his shoes and grabbed his ball. And for the next hour, we competed, laughed, and had a very memorable moment. By the way, a moment that would have never even happened if he didn't break that window. Because if it were not for the window taking me away from my work, I would have still been focused on my work. Frustrations are often love's greatest opportunities. But unless we deny frustrations, we end up denying love's opportunity to shine at its brightest. I hope that this story can bring some insight to your life, to take pause, to not just see the situations in your life as a way that justifies impatience and unkindness and insisting on your own way. Because, yeah, they're justifiable. There's a reason you feel impatience. But God unjustifiably showed his love to you and I by dying on a cross for our sins while we were his enemy. Take pause, become self-aware, and exercise self-control by leaning into God and reflecting his love, that no matter what comes your way, no matter what great frustrations may justify the characteristics that are in contrary to love, that you not only take note of these moments, but begin to conclude in your life that to resist the satisfaction of justifying the manifested behavior of your frustrations is God's love's greatest opportunities. Love endures all things, and it bears all things. And Christ living in us, I pray, is the evidence of this. I'm Billy Heyer, encouraging you to endure all of love's opportunities. Have a blessed day.